we'll be reading through 56. I don't get it. Put that there. Jeff, you can verify for me. Every time I try this, it works before. I don't get it. It's frustrating. Anyway, Luke chapter 1, reading through 56 as we continue our series looking at the songs of Christmas. This morning we come to the second song shared by Mary. We pick up the account where it says, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. When she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth, and when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who has believed that the Lord has said to her what will be accomplished. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. And he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud to the inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the humble. And he has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Here to read him God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, for the songs of praise. We thank you, Lord, for your word that lifts our heart in worship and praise to you. For your word, Lord, that speaks to us, encourages us, and refreshes us. Your word revealed to us by your Holy Spirit that instructs us for our life and feeds us as the bread of life. So this morning, refresh our spirit. Encourage us through your word this morning as we worship together and as we sit before you. Take away the distractions from our mind that we can hear you today. Speak to our hearts anew and afresh through Christ our Lord in whom we pray. Amen. Have you ever had a time in your life when things didn't go as had planned? Once or twice? Many times, yeah, me too. You feel pretty good and you feel pretty comfortable and happy and assured about the way things are going in your life. Then boom, suddenly out of the blue, something totally unexpectedly happens that completely changes the course and direction of your life. And life takes an unexpected turn. That's happened to all of us. We all can relate to that and understand that. When this happens, how do you respond? We can be overcome sometimes with fear, dismay, anxiety, worry. And as a result, we can lose our sense of trust in the Lord and in his goodness. In the second song of Christmas, this is exactly what happened to Mary. Life took an unexpected turn for her and what she is planning, and it was not what she thought her life was going to be. And in this unexpected turn, she sang a song of trust in such a hard and difficult time for her life. Because we see as this story unfolds, just a little bit of the background before we get in looking at the second song of Christmas that was sung by her. A little bit of background. Mary, at this time, was a teenage girl. It's believed she was about anywhere between 13 to 16 years of age.
She was engaged to be married to a man, a godly man named Joseph, who the Bible said was a descendant of David. They had been engaged to be married. And she was visited by the angel Gabriel, who came to her, as we go back to chapter 1 a little bit further, in verses 20 through 26, we see the context here. The angel Gabriel came to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. You will be with child. And you're going to have a son. You're going to give him the name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be the Son of the Most High, and he will reign on his father's David's throne." Imagine getting such news. Life was taking an unexpected turn for Mary. This was not what she had planned. She was engaged to Joseph. She did not see this in her future. And the angel came to her and she said, "Well, how can this be?" She said, "I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man. How can this happen?" She wasn't doubting God like Zechariah did last week. She was asking a question. As Ralph said, ask question. She was asking a question for explanation. And the angel Gabriel said, "The power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the Most High will overshadow you, so that the one conceived in you will be born of God himself and will become God and is the Son of God." And her response to the angel's message was, "Not me. You messed up my life. I'm not doing this." No, her response was, "May it be to me as you have said." That's trust, friends. She entrusted her life into the hands of God, which she didn't understand. And with that simple statement, "May it be to me as you've said," it's a simple statement, but it was a matter of deep trust. Life changed for Mary. At 13, the 16-year-old unmarried girl in that time. Because in that, she was accepting the stigma of being an unwed mother. Now, in our culture today, that's not quite as shameful as it was then. But imagine, that time was a very shameful thing, to be pregnant and not to be out of wedlock. And she was accepting that. She was also accepting the fact that, what would Joseph say? What would he do to her if he found out that she was pregnant and he knew he was not the father? And she didn't know her life was becoming very uncertain here. And being a single unwed mother, she could have been rejected by her family. She could have been stoned. She could have been brought out to public ridicule. And all of that, but yet she trusted God. What would happen to her? What would happen to the baby inside her? But yet, she trusted. So the scripture says, on hearing this, she went to visit Elizabeth. And she arrived at Elizabeth, her cousin Elizabeth's home, who was the mother of Zechariah, a mother of John that we looked at last week. And whenever she greeted Elizabeth, John inside her leaped for joy because he knew here's the coming of the Messiah, the one who was promised. And Elizabeth gave Mary a blessing. And in response to that, Mary sings the second song of Christmas, known as the Magnificat. This portion of scripture has been set to music, and many people have sung it. But in it, it's a simple display of Mary's trust in God. And through it, we can discover three reasons why you and I can sing a song of trust when life takes unexpected turn. When we have something that doesn't go according to how we plan. When we thought we had life figured out and all of a sudden, boom, it's changed direction on us. And we can still trust God in the midst of that, and we can still lift up songs of praise to him even in those times of uncertainty. As we look at Mary's song, we discover three reasons why we can do that. And first reason is because he is a mindful God who looks on us with favor. He is a mindful God who looks on us with favor. Notice what it says here. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Verse 48, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. That means his eyes are on us. When I was looking up that word mindful this week in my study, that word mindful means to look upon, to fix your eyes upon. And Mary said, I'm praising God because his eyes are on me. His eyes are fixed on me, on the humble state of his servant. He is remembering me and he sees me. And I trust him and he knows what I'm going through and the uncertainty that I'm experiencing right now. But yet, his eyes are on me. His eyes are with me. And I can praise him. He's mindful of me. This morning, whatever it is you're going through, God's eyes are on you. And he is mindful of your condition. He's mindful of your situation. It does not escape his attention. His eyes are fixed on you. Aren't you thankful for that? And so we can praise him and lift up a song of trust. Because he is mindful. He's looking on you with favor. He knows nothing escapes his attention. And Mary was a poor, unmarried girl from an obscure little village of Nazareth. Nothing good ever happened in Nazareth. In fact, the scripture says nothing good ever came from Nazareth. But yet, the Lord knew Mary, and his eyes were fixed on her, and he looked on her with favor. The same with you and me. And rejoice and trust in that. And he knows you, and he knows what you're going through. It says, Mary says, he is mindful of me. He is mindful of the humble state of his servant. And she saw herself as a servant before God and the condition of her heart. And he knew the condition of her heart. That's why she was favored. That's why she was chosen. But he knows the condition of your heart. He knows all that you are going through. So he is mindful and his eyes are upon us, but also his blessing is on us. The word mindful also means to have regard for or to look upon with favor or respect. And when the angel greeted Mary, as you look back to chapter 1, as you go back a little bit, the first words to her in verse 28, the angel said to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Why was Mary favored by God? Because she had trusted him. Because her heart was inclined to him, because she knew him personally. And his blessing is on you. He is for you. And his favor is upon you, and you are highly favored. And highly favored by God. So rejoice this morning, even in difficult situations, because God is mindful of it. He understands exactly. He sees it. It's not escaping his attention. He knows when life takes those unexpected turns, when things aren't going the way you had planned or hoped they would. And he understands. He's mindful of it. And his favor is upon you in those times. And his blessing is in your life. His eyes are firmly fixed on you. So in that we can trust him. Because we know that he's good in everything he's doing. And we know that his plan in our life is a good one. And we can trust him in it. Second reason why we can trust him in the midst of that is because he is a mighty God who is able to do great things. Notice what she goes on to say in verse 49. It says, "For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name." In verse 51, "He has performed mighty deeds with his arm, and he has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts." We can trust him because he is a mighty God. And as a mighty God, he can do great things. In fact, if you look up at verse 37, when Mary said to the angel, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin." And the angel explained it to her. Then he said, "For nothing is impossible with God." Sometimes we're in the midst of things and life takes those turns on us. And we think like, boy, I'm in an impossible situation here. There's no way out of this. But you know, we have a great God who can do great things. He's the mighty one. And nothing is impossible for him. And we can trust him even in those times. Because the mighty one, we're going to explain some of these words. Mighty one, where Mary says he is the mighty one, means the one who is able, strong, powerful, and mighty. That's what that word mighty means. So God is able, he's strong, he's powerful, and he's mighty. So we have a God who is able to do. He is mighty, he is limitless in his power and his strength. Do you believe that? He's the mighty one, he is able. So in those times when we're going through in the midst of something, we think, how am I going to get through it? We have a God who is able. He's the mighty one. And he's strong and he's powerful and he's able to do. The next one, he is our mighty one who has done. He said the mighty one has done. That word done means to make, to form, to produce or to bring about or cause. And so our God who is strong, who is able to bring about or produce or cause something to happen. And we're going to see what they are. But he has the ability to bring something into, to complete something. Because that's who he is. And that word done, next one. And the word done is in the aorist tense. And you say, so what's that mean? English grammar here, or Greek grammar in this case. What's it mean? Aorist tense is tense, which means the action of the verb is to be considered as occurring in past, present, and future. So it's something that means God has done in the past, but he can do now, and he's able to do in the future. So that word done means that he has the ability to perform for you and act for you and to cause things to happen in the past, in the present, and in the future. Aren't you thankful for that? That's what he, all time, that's the kind of God he is. It's in the aorist tense, and it's in the indicative mood, which describes a simple state of fact that has an action, means that the action has occurred in the past, it can occur in the present, and it can occur in the future. So it simply says, the mighty one has done this for me. It's a simple state of fact, meaning he has the ability to do it in the past, and the present, and in the future. So we can trust him, because he is the mighty one who has done great things. That word mighty deed or great things means a work or a deed done with power, might, strength, or force. So the last one there means that a mighty God equals mighty deeds. And I want you to see a connection here. Look at verse 49. For the mighty one has done great things, but he has performed mighty deeds. And in my Bible, when I was studying this week, I circled mighty one and I circled mighty deeds and I connected them with a line. Because it's the same word that our mighty God is able to do mighty deeds. And we can trust him. So when life takes those unexpected turns, and when life doesn't happen the way we think, and we're in the midst of, like Mary was, and she found herself in a situation she didn't know how she was going to deal with, the mighty God was able to do great things for her, and he does for us too. And we can trust him in the midst of that, because we have a mighty God who can do great things. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So we sing a song of praise and trust to him, because he is a mindful God who looks on you with favor. He is a mighty God who is able to do great things. And third, we give him praise in the hard times because he is a merciful God who extends grace to all who trust him. Look at verse 50. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. In verse down 54, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful. So he is a mercy, he is a merciful God who extends grace to all who trust him. And Mary had been favored of God because she had trusted him. And she was entrusting her life into his hands, and his favor and mercy was upon her. And you and I as well can trust him because he is merciful, slow to anger, abounding in love. And his mercy is undeserved. It's not based on anything we do or can ever do, but his mercy is extended and granted to us because of his love for you and me. Nothing worthy in us. There was nothing worthy in Mary that he chose her. But he extended his mercy to her out of his love and grace, and the same for you and I. So thank the Lord for his mercy and grace. So this morning, as we sing this second song of Christmas and focus in on that, when life takes those unexpected things, when life does not happen the way we think, and we get a message, a phone call, something happens that alters the course of our life's direction, just as Mary's was, we can trust ourselves in the Lord and say, Lord, may it be to me as you have said. I surrender to your will. May your will be done. And sing a song of trust to him because he's mindful of your condition. His eyes and favor's on you. His mercy is extended to you. And he is a mighty God who can do mighty and great things. Let us pray. That's next. Father, we thank you that you are mindful of our condition, that you are merciful, kind, gracious, that you are mindful of all that we go through. And when those life takes those unexpected turns in our life, you are mindful of that. You know the condition of your servant, of our heart, of who we are, of what we're facing. And nothing escapes your attention. It doesn't catch you by surprise at all. So, Lord, we rest in you and we trust in you that you are good and you do all things for your good purpose and will. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are mighty and that you can do mighty things. And when we're in the midst of it and our back is against the wall and we wonder how we're going to get out of the situation we're in, you are able to do great things in the past, in the present, and in the future. Things that we cannot understand or comprehend, but are nothing for you. Nothing is impossible to you. So, Lord, help us to trust you and rely on your mercy and in your grace. And we thank you, Lord, that Mary trusted you. And because of that, Jesus was able to be conceived and take on human flesh and come to us through her trust and obedience of you. And Lord, use us in the same way to trust you, Lord, that your plan may be fulfilled and carried out in and through us, even though we may not fully understand it. And Lord, we trust you and sing this hymn of praise and thanksgiving because indeed you are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.